Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Thank you. Thank you. It's been several years now, as you would well know, that I've prepared Christmas homilies. Well, this year I thought I'd take it easy, so I looked one up on the internet. Want to hear it? You're gonna. Now first, let's just set some ground rules. Do you believe in God?
Yes.
Redeemed?
Yes.
Do you want to be redeemed by somebody besides yourself?
Yes.
Huh. You never thought of that, did you? Are you willing to surrender to someone else?
Yes.
It's getting dimmer. Are you willing to surrender to Jesus?
Yes.
That's really the point, right? Christmas really is, we can't say it's the pinnacle of the church year, can we? Because that's
Easter.
But no baby Jesus, no Easter, no adult Christ. Christmas is fundamentally a feast of our redemption. And there's nothing more worthless than a Savior who people don't believe they need to be saved. They're easy words, and I suppose in a public setting, they're easy answers. But when we look at the reality of things in our human condition, dignified and wonderful as it is, really, did you notice that opening prayer? That God became human so that you and I could become divine. Boy, does that sound pretty heady. But that's precisely the point of the incarnation. It might sound odd because we do believe that Jesus is and was and will always be God. But he grew into the awareness of that divinity by becoming the fullness of himself in his humanity. It's hard to let go of the self I have made. We all have a self that we have made in the sense that we present ourselves in the way we want people to see us, right? And again, to use some of the language, we wear masks. We hide emotionally, psychologically, sometimes physically. So part of my reflection today, the greater part, is not only that we love God, but that we come to know and love ourselves. Now, that might sound like a very simple message, and it is pretty simple. It's an important message, because we cannot know, ultimately, the love of God without knowing ourselves. If we're just loving God because God's in heaven, he's not sitting to me getting on my nerves, then God stays in heaven. But the realization of the burgeoning and developing divinity of God in us is to seek with desire to know ourselves, where God dwells. Now, I know for some that would be completely unappetizing. People who've hidden from themselves for many good or bad reasons, hard and difficult and painful things, I'm never going to think, feel, or consider that again. This happened to me, and I, you know, those things are there. Now, again, I don't want to stir all that up, you see. But your ultimate nature, your ultimate truth is Christ. Now, the piece I want to play for you, some of you might recognize the name Pastor Rick Warren. He wrote some years ago, 6, 7, 8, maybe 10, The Purpose-Driven Life. I read the first couple of chapters, wasn't really all that impressed. I think I still have the book. I probably ought to go back and read it. But he also wrote Love Wins. And this little piece, it's about a 21-minute commencement speech. Don't worry, you're not going to get all 21 minutes. I can do that perfectly well myself. So he's speaking to a group of graduates, the commencement, those who are receiving their diplomas, and a stadium or an auditorium, whatever it is, full of people. And I know I came across this probably on Facebook or whatever some weeks ago. And I must have listened to it 30 times. There's a clarity and a distinction there that is reasonably rare. And I will say, I was really quite humbled and edified, because one of our parishioners after the 4 o'clock mass yesterday said, "Father, you preach like that all the time." As I open up the phone and get all that work in, you'll have about a minute and a half. You just said you believe in God. You believe you need a redeemer. You want to be redeemed. Do you feel the fruit of that redemption now? Ponder that while I get hooked up. Just keeps going and going and going. Want to hear it again? You got to listen to me first. I will play it again. I think that's powerful. It is true in one form or another, maybe effectively or not. We have heard all our lives, God loves us. Oh, years ago and probably several times in between, I've seen it on bumper stickers. It deserves more than that, right? So we find ourselves quite literally in this moment in time. A moment in time. But please be mindful just for a moment that we're standing on the ground of about 8 to 10,000 years of Old Testament history. This time, this moment just didn't drop out of space. God has been preparing humanity and society and civilization, peoples and leaders of nations for the coming of Christ for all these years. All the major prophets, the Genesis story, the fall, the apple, the snake.
They were naked, not in Michigan today.
All that history that came. And now this is now the fullness of time. The fullness of time is the coming of the Lord. I say all that by reminding us, for the sake of reminding us, that God is eternal. God has no beginning and God has no end. God is unchanging. Now, to be perfectly honest, I didn't mean to read that gospel again today. I meant to read the gospel from the first beginning of John's gospel. You can thank me. I didn't read the gospel of the genealogy of Jesus. I could have read that, but if I did, I was going to do a quiz. You know, all the begets and all the begottens, and this got that one, he got this one, and it goes all the way down to Joseph, the husband of Mary, from whom came Jesus, who is the Christ. So in a sense, it's the beginning of the new beginning of God incarnate, which then, of course, becomes the heart of Christianity. So can I say to you that the core, the deepest purpose and activity of your life and mine is to realize from whom we were created, in and from whom we were redeemed, and by whom we were sanctified, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But today, we celebrate the commemoration of the incarnation of God so that he, in his divinity and the fullness of his humanity, died to save and set us free. But if we spend our lives, I don't know, we pick on Catholics, well, at least I do, we learned importantly about sin. But if we spend our religious lives, and not just our religious lives, much more importantly and unfortunately, our spiritual lives, if we're always looking through the frame of how sinful I am and how I'm never going to reach the fullness of God, that's not the message, is it? The message is God's mercy. The message is who we are in God now. I'm not denying for one nanosecond of a nanosecond. We're sinful. I am, and you are. Sorry, it's Christmas. But we have a Savior and a Redeemer. So that if we allow the Creator, God, to be one with us intentionally in the gifting, the gift of Jesus, then we'll be able to know our deepest identity, our meaning and our purpose in life, and we'll find a true happiness that is very difficult to find this side of heaven. And you won't find it on the internet, you won't find it on the mall, or you won't find it on your 300 Facebook friends, but you'll know the peace and the happiness of Christ from the inside out. So what's the wisdom? And people may not like it, really. The seminarians used to tell me this years ago when I was the spiritual director of the seminary. Oh, Father, don't give us all that psychology stuff. Just teach us how to pray. In other words, give me a prayer book so I can say the right prayer at the right time and I'll be on the right side of God. Good, but not reality, right? It's hard to be a whole self. That's why we wear masks. It's why we hide emotionally. And pray God, praise God, that you know God gave us those psychological tools to defend us against the hardness and difficulties, the hurts, the disappointment, sometimes the abuses of life. I was going to use the word work, but I think the better word is if we seek to know ourselves in God, that's the fastest and the best way to know God in ourselves. Not making ourselves, making God love us because we believe we're good and we do good things. After all, I visited my mother-in-law on a day when I really had 100 other things to do. I must get some grace points for that, right? That's the whole mind that I'm somehow going to earn God's favor. You already have God's favor. So the challenge is to humble ourselves. And this is not easy for humans because we have our egos and all those kinds of things that get in the way, that we humble ourselves in non-judgmental self-acceptance to simply let God love you, the good, the bad, and the very imperfect and incomplete. I won't say ugly, but the very imperfect and the incomplete in ourselves. God sees your value. God sees your dignity. God sees you as one whom he infinitely knows, intimately knows, and eternally loves, despite your imperfections and mine. Now, of course, I'm talking about a mature self-love, not a satisfying egotistical stance, a selfish self-centered stance that makes me look important or better or greater or more superior than others. But it's the stance of putting away some of those masks, some of those things that we wear and how we present ourselves so that others would think better of us than perhaps maybe we are. God knows all that. He sees you through and through. And what does God see when he looks at you? He sees the image of himself in Christ. The challenge and the blessing and the call is to know and love ourselves from the inside out. Because when we do that, now that takes some time, a little bit of time. Sit still once in a while and listen to your heart and listen to your soul. Did I just read? We're bodies with a soul. But some spiritualists will say we're really a soul with a body. The soul is, in some expressions, the inner self. It's the place where God is within us. But to know ourselves from the inside out, being able to see and to name our inner goodness, our inner truth, a meaning and a purpose, the passion, the love that motivates and animates our lives, will in and of itself teach us who God is and who that God is in ourselves. When we live from that passion of our goodness and our truth, in our desire to love and to be loved, to be valued, to belong, to be a part of, and to nurture the lives of those who are in relationship with my own life. It's just not when I feel good about myself. It's just when I do a good thing that I really didn't want to do, but I did it anyway. It's simply because you are. You exist, and you cannot exist unless you exist in God. I'm sure I probably saw this on Facebook somewhere. You think I looked at it all day. I don't. And I mean, I take it for a lived experience. It's a parent. A mom talking to her young daughter, maybe 5, 6 years old. Now consider if you or I were perhaps parented this way, and I think the kid's either being sent off to school, or maybe the child is coming home from school and didn't have a very good day. And the parent is trying to not only console the child, but to help the child understand their dignity and value and that they're loved. So the parent says, now I want you to repeat after me. And the parent says to the child, I'm brave, I'm brave. I'm strong, I'm strong. I'm smart, I'm smart. I'm beautiful, I'm beautiful. I'm loved, I'm loved. Have you ever done that for yourself? It's probably better if someone does it with you or for you or at you, if you will. But if you don't have anybody in your life like that, look in the mirror. And then do it. I'm brave. I'm strong. I'm smart. I'm beautiful. I'm loved. Now some are thinking, boy, Father has a fat head. Wouldn't you like someone to say that to you? I know about you. I grew up with 6 or 5 other siblings, and there was a lot more criticism and complaining and correction that went on. No one ever told me I was brave and strong and smart and beautiful or loved. I knew I was. But it makes a difference to hear it. Parents, love yourself in the awareness of the love of your spouse. Now, if that's not so swell all the time, think about the love God has for you. Because as you know and love yourself in the love of your spouse and your children and God and your friends, then you in your way will teach your children to love themselves and to know themselves. And they'll begin, even if you don't use the word, to feel and to know their inner nature of their goodness. Regardless of how many times they may fail or frustrate you, or how many red stickers they get at school, or how many timeout times they get, they'll still know they're loved and beautiful and smart and strong, and they can go forward. You know the 2 principal commandments. I know you know the 10 commandments, but I'm not going to go all the way through that. You shall love the Lord your God with all your mind, heart, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as you love yourself. It's funny, it's the last 3 words of that sentence that you have to start with. It's easy to love God if you're going to just sit here and pray to the clouds, because God stays in heaven and he's not really getting on my nerves. But if you start with the self, with the awareness that God is in you, and you begin to believe that, then you will come to a knowing and an understanding of the mystery of God. And then the Ten Commandments will not just be gotta do laws, because if I don't do them, I'm going to get in trouble with God. They'll become more than a religious expression of necessity, but a spiritual awareness that draws closer to the mystery of the divine that's already in us. I've said it before, say it all the time. God created you out of love and redeemed you in the love of his Son. The God who created you, the Son who redeemed you, and the Holy Spirit that sanctified you. That the Father is loving you in the same way and with the same love as with which he loved Jesus. Think about how Jesus grew up. He just didn't bling into, holy bliss because he was divine. He had to go through all the normal stages of human development that all of us did. When he was an infant, Mary and or Joseph, probably Mary, changed the diaper, feed the baby, do the laundry and all that stuff. But you have to consider what the parenting of Mary might have been like. We can maybe make Mary too angelized or too holy. She was a mom. She worked hard, she had ups and downs, and she had trials in her life. But she knew herself. How can I say that? I didn't personally know Mary. She knew herself because she knew God. She believed in God, she trusted God, and she had the courage and the inner knowing that when the angel came to her, she realized that there was a mystery coming within her. And because she knew herself and she loved God and she trusted God, she could say, "Be it done to me according to your way." And that's how she loved Jesus. Her faith, her humility, her love of justice, her love of God, her self-giving love of others. So that in so many ways, we're called to form each other, not only by loving them with Christmas cards and the niceties of love, but by behaving in other-centered, self-giving ways. It's not always a smooth way, as you might imagine. It's not always convenient. There's disappointments, hurts, and losses along the way. But it is, in fact, the true way. It's the real way. Because most of us, and that's not a criticism in any way, it's very normal for all of us, we all have a false self. The conversion and the light of the Christian life is that we awaken through our years to the true self, the Christ self within us. That's how Jesus came to understand his divinity. So that at 12 years, when he stayed behind, unknown to Mary and Joseph in the temple, and they're pulling their hair out, thinking, "We're going to wring that kid's little neck." And they get back to that temple, and they finally found him, and all he has to say is, "Well, didn't you know I had to be about my Father's business?" Jesus had his own awakening. Because he was so well loved by his parents, he realized that God was his Father, and that communion of love between the Father and the Son became so real that it became the meaning, the purpose, the passion, the identity of the Lord's life, to the point that he got to that wretched, beautiful cross. But even there he said, "Father, if this cup can pass me by, let it pass. But not my will, your will be done. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." My message today, know yourself with self-accepting, non-judgmental love. Because when you take the courage and the humility to do that work, to seek God in yourself, you'll know God more. Simply said, let God love you. We cannot save ourselves as much as we all try, and we should do that. It's important, emotionally, psychologically, spiritually, morally, but we do it with the light of the divine grace. God is praised today, and as happy as we are with God, whether you've opened your gifts or not, think how happy God is with you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Mary, for saying yes to our Heavenly Father, that we are now saved and set free Please listen to this one more time. Maybe the Lord wants to tell you something in that. If you're worried about your sins, if you're not feeling well about yourself, if you're just always kind of down, and I don't have to tell you, the world's a mess. The world needs your prayer. The world needs your holiness. So listen to that again. Feel a little more deeply who you are in Christ and who God is in you, because you can't get away from God no matter what you do. If you want to listen to that 21-minute speech, if you could just Google Oral Roberts University Commencement 2024. I think it's 21 minutes and 21 seconds or something like that. It's worth listening to. It's very engaging, but this is just a minute and 20 seconds of it, and I'm going to have you listen to it again. Thank God for you. You all have a Merry Christmas.